Welcome to Voices of the Community, which explores critical issues facing Northern California communities. We introduce you to the voices of community thought leaders and change makers who are working on solutions that face our fellow individual community members, neighborhoods, cities, and our region. This is George Koster, your host. This episode is part of a series of interviews we conducted through our participation in the Bay Area Video Coalition's TV show titled San Francisco Nonprofits Spotlight. The interviews were conducted via Zoom from April to June 2020 during the height of the first phase of the COVID-19 pandemic and the shelter-in-place requirements. The goal of the series is to shine a spotlight on the nonprofits and their staff who are struggling to deal with the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on their operations, services, and sustainability. The series of interviews we conducted feature voices from a cross-section of organizations that make up the fabric of our community. Each of them brings a unique perspective on how they and we are dealing with the issues facing our community during the pandemic.
In the course of researching this film, I've become really aware of how important it is to have public funding for our public services, like libraries and schools, but also for our artists. You know, philanthropists are not going to save us all the time. If we really want to have a thriving arts community, and if we really want to have thriving social services, we need public funding for them. And I think people are starting to realize that a little bit during this period. So that's what I hope for. More city funding, more state funding, more national funding for the arts.
In this episode, we feature the voices of Lucy Faulkner and Don Logsdon, the co-founders of Serendipity Films. I had the wonderful opportunity of working with Don and Lucy back in 2012 as an intern on their films Faber Treme, The Untold Story of Black New Orleans, and Free for All, Inside the Public Library. What immediately struck me in working with Lucy and Don is their passion for telling untold stories of people and places that our society has underexplored or just plain ignored. They're always working to bring together all the elements of a wonderful story and sharing it to audiences in hopes of opening minds and dialogues that can inspire action to make the needed changes to our community, such as supporting our libraries and librarians.
I'm joined remotely via Zoom from our mutual self-quarantine by Lucy Faulkner and Don Logsdon, the co-founders of Serendipity Films. Thanks for being here, Don and Lucy.
Thanks for having us.
I'd like to have each of you just share why you created Serendipity Films, and then what are some of the titles that you've either produced or worked on?
We started the film company because when I first met Dawn, she was working on our other film, Faber Treme, The Untold Story of Black New Orleans, and it was going through her own personal bank account as a DBA. So once you get a bunch of funders, you need to keep, for the financial reporting, you need to have everything, you know, very clear and concise. And so that's why we started Serendipity Films, because we needed a new bank account and in order to report to them. So it's very mundane, but that's why we started it. Dawn will tell you the type of films that we like to make.
Casey can't tell, she's the one who handles the business. And thank God for that. So we made a film about New Orleans, which is about a historic African-American neighborhood there that I made with a friend of mine from high school. And Wynton Marsalis was the executive producer, who's also somebody that I went to high school with in New Orleans. It's my hometown. And then I, prior to that time, had a long career as an editor. And so in between that film and Free for All, I've been editing films as part of the Serendipity Project. So I did a piece last year for American Masters about the chef Jacques Pepin. And I worked on an experimental film called The Royal Road, which is suddenly very timely again, because part of what it's about is Juniper Serra and his legacy of, well, I don't want to say destruction, but his mixed blessing legacy, to say the very least, and how much children growing up in California were taught one side of the mission story, the story of the Spanish and the missionary period in history. And that film was made by Jenny Olson, and it went to Sundance. So most of what we do is work that's for PBS, occasionally BBC or HBO, but mostly PBS.
And you both created Free for All, and please walk the audience through why Free for All. It's a wonderful film and probably a very large project for what you guys have done in the past.
It was her idea. It's all her fault.
Yeah, it's been a huge, huge project. It started when we were working on the Treme film. I was spending a lot of time in archives and libraries, and I just fell in love with librarians because they were, that would have all the answers to anything we needed. If they didn't have the answer, they would look it up. And by the time I got back to my office, the answer would be in my inbox. And so I told Dawn, I said, you know, we should make a movie about public libraries. And she's like, I'm sure it's already been done. And so we, of course, you know, Googled it and it hadn't been done. So we started thinking about that. We found out who the best historian was on the subject, and we called him up and he got him on board. And then Hurricane Katrina hit. So we didn't get to start it right away. We had to go back into production for the Faubourg Treme film. And here we are 10 years later.
Yeah.
We had to evacuate New Orleans, ended up in Baton Rouge with just our 3 days worth of clothes, thinking we'd be right back home, and discovered that we wouldn't be able to go back home, and we didn't have our computers or anything. Nobody knew where we were or what we were doing. And so we went to the library to get on the computer to tell people where we were, and we were okay because my family's in California, here in San Francisco. And once we got to the library, we realized librarians are first responders because they were there signing people in to get on the computers so they can get in and check loved ones' lists. You know, if there was lost pets, they had FEMA forms, they had Red Cross help there. It was amazing. And just, you know, somebody to listen to you too. You know, if you lost everything, the librarians were there to like talk to you and help you with your insurance forms or whatever. So that sort of solidified it. And then we had to finish the other film. And finally we got back into it, even though we said we weren't going to make another film. We did. Here we are.
And we've actually been filming a lot of disasters over the years as we're traveling around working on this project, starting with Hurricane Katrina and going all the way through the COVID pandemic.
What would you like to see as the biggest impact in Free for All for the importance of public libraries? What are some of the major goals, you know, and the outcome of that wonderful film?
You know, until we started this film, it was something we really took for granted. Where the fact that we had a public library every place we've ever lived, and it was free and it was open to everybody.
In every place we ever traveled, there's a public library.
In the United States, yeah, and most countries now to other places too. But I don't think we can take our public spaces for granted forever. And if we do, we're really in danger of losing them. And I think this moment is super acute for us being aware of that now that they're all closed. It's like, as a society, how do we want to bring them back? Do we want to commit to bringing them back and paying for them? Because it means taxes, and not just our public libraries, but our public schools, our universities, all those things.
We're already hearing about all these counties because they're losing so much tax revenue with, you know, all the stores closed and nobody paying property taxes. They're just going to be completely and utterly strapped. And so already they're cutting out public library funding around the country.
And it should be said that this film is at least half history, if not more than half. And in this moment, especially, what I hope is that the history can kind of help inspire us and guide us, because it's really a remarkable and beautiful and very inspiring story about how Americans of all different stripes came together and created this library system and made it more and more inclusive over like a century-long journey, really. And that it was women at the forefront. So even though we're a little distressed about how long it took us to finish this, it's really appropriate that it's coming out in 2020, which is the year that women a century ago got the right to vote. And those two struggles were very closely intertwined, the fight to build our library system and the fight for women to get the right to vote.
How has COVID-19 and the whole epidemic impacted your completion of the film?
Well,
how has it not?
We were almost done again. We were like gearing up to get everything done so we could premiere this summer. So the composer couldn't record with his musicians in the recording studio anymore. All the archives closed. And so we can't get the rights to all the footage, you know, cause like she said, it's historical. So a lot of footage and photos that need rights to, we can't get them out of anywhere. Nobody's working and the houses to transfer them are closed.
The festivals that we've been accepted at, we had to, you know, they either got canceled or we had to decline because we couldn't deliver a finished film until we get our archival material. We had to give up our broadcast on PBS that was supposed to be happening in a few months. Oh, and then I made the big decision that we needed to go in and make a few, what I thought would be very minor changes to the film to have it be reflective of the new reality that it would be coming out into. And that's proven to be a little more daunting than I thought it would be.
And in addition, in our office, we have a large suite in a really great building and to help offset our rent, because we all know San Francisco rents are crazy, we sublet part of our space out to people. And two of the people that were in here, they left. And so we have empty offices. And one person, it works in the printing industry for a lot of nonprofits like the opera and the ballet. Everybody just like stopped, and she's got no work coming in at all. So it's affected us that way as well.
I'd say on the positive side, we have a lot more time to focus on things. You know, it does make you realize like you've been running around and doing a million things. And Lucy, in addition to working on this project, had two other jobs at theaters in town, and those are both gone for now. So she has a lot more time to work on the project and just a lot fewer distractions.
I feel like we are so lucky compared to a lot of people, because we're still able to work. You know, we aren't getting any money, but we have the space that's just a couple blocks from our house. So even though we're not essential workers, so we can still like try and figure out what's going to happen, you know?
We're also very, very lucky that we weren't in the midst of fundraising. I really feel for all of these organizations and artists and nonprofits and social service organizations that are trying to stay afloat right now. That'll be a challenge for us down the road, but at least right now we're not trying to fund the film.
Speaking of which, how can people help?
So because theaters are closed and festivals are closed, we really feel the need to get the film, once it's done, out into the community. And I don't think theaters or festivals are going to open for a long, long time in closed places. So our new brilliant idea, if I do say so myself, is we're going to get an RV, and we've been donated a screen, and we have a projector that we could use to tell people, bring BYO chair and popcorn and come to the parking lot of the library or on the lawn or whatever, and we will broadcast the film, and we'll be there available for a Q&A afterwards for people, and they can be outside, socially distant, and we can still have that sense of community with them at that point.
And we were hoping to do a few of those as a test this fall, but given the situation right now, I don't think that's going to be happening until the spring of 2021. But we're laying the groundwork for it, and people should sign up so that they know when we're coming to their town.
And where can they sign up?
They can sign up on our website, serendipityfilms.org.
Are you looking to get someone to help underwrite, provide an RV, help underwrite the tour?
Yes, to all of the above.
That would be a yes.
Yes. We have some funding to get it started, but, you know, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
As we're looking into it more, it's going to be a lot more expensive than we thought. At first, we were like, oh, well, this will be actually the economical tour as opposed to flying all around and staying in hotels. But it's going to be really expensive.
Yeah, just to rent an RV for a couple of weeks is like $12,000 or something. It's ridiculous. So that's why we're thinking of buying one or getting one donated. But we were looking at buying them, you know. We don't want a big one, but they're expensive, and there's anywhere from $60,000 to $120,000.
We also want to try and give the film away for free, since it is about free public libraries, and the name of the film is Free for All. And we know that libraries are going to be really hurting right now, so we're hoping to find people and foundations and funders who can help us underwrite making it available to every library in the country with a kit, a toolkit that makes it accessible so that librarians can use it for their own screenings, but also if they need to use it for, you know, making the argument for funding, for like just helping their communities in whatever ways they need to use the film.
So out of the COVID-19 meltdown, what do you think are some of the positive things that could come out of it to help our local filmmakers such as yourselves here in the Bay Area?
In the course of researching this film, I've become really aware of how important it is to have public funding for our public services, like libraries and schools, but also for our artists. You know, philanthropists are not going to save us all the time. If we really want to have a thriving arts community, and if we really want to have thriving social services, we need public funding for them. And I think people are starting to realize that a little bit during this period. So that's what I hope for. More city funding, more state funding, more national funding for the arts.
And tax people, you know, all across the board, you know, that's
more equitable. Taxation.
Yeah. That would help. That would help a lot.
Well, thank you both for sharing your story today. And we'll make sure that everyone who's watching this and listening to it has all of the contact information, your social media, and you have a wonderful trailer, as I recall, on your website about the film.
Yeah. have to update that too.
And collected lots and lots of stories. So it's a really wonderful project, and I hope that you can bring it to fruition this year, or at least, you know, beginning of next year.
Thanks for having us, and thanks for everything you've done to support the project over the years.
Yeah.
That's it for this episode of Voices of the Community. You've been listening to the voices of Don Loxton and Lucy Faulkner, the co-founders of Serendipity Films, discuss the release of their documentary film on the importance of public libraries. With the shutdown of libraries, theaters, movie theaters, and film festivals, independent filmmakers are struggling to distribute their films to the public. As Lucy and Don mentioned, they are working on a plan to bring their latest film, Free for All, Inside the Public Library, to the public through free screenings. To find out more about the film, their team, partners, and how to get involved, along with watching the trailer, please go to www.freeforallfilms.org. We hope that you enjoyed the insights, points of view, and personal stories from the voices of changemakers and their nonprofits featured in the series. To find out more and get engaged with the nonprofit and staff members featured in this episode, please go to my website, georgecoster.com, and click on Voices of the Community to find links to this episode. Please consider a donation and volunteering to provide a hand up to your fellow community members. I want to thank my associate producer, Eric Estrada, as well as the wonderful team at Bay Area Video Coalition. Go to www.bavc.org to find out more about Bay Area Video Coalition services. To listen to our next episode in this series and to our archived past shows, which feature community voices working on solutions to critical issues facing Northern California communities, please go to georgecoster.com. While you're on our website, please consider making a donation to help us provide future shows just like this. Please rate us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast and share the story with your friends. Follow us on Twitter at George Coster, and please email us at George@georgecoster.com. I'm George Coster in San Francisco, and thank you for listening.